This is the Truth Network.
Oh, do we have a treat for you today on Truth Talk Live? The treat is not that Stu's not here, but the treat is that we have such a wonderful, wonderful guest, somebody that God has used in some really neat ways. You're going to find out about it today. He is the Honorable Sam Rohr, and currently the president of the American Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, but a really unique past that we get to share with him today. And it's kind of cool, Sam, that we get to do this on the recording, as you're listening to this, is on the National Day of Prayer. And so how fitting that we would have a chance to share these subjects on the National Day of Prayer, wouldn't you think?
Well, the National Day of Prayer is, it's a great day to talk about anything having to do with God and prayer and things of eternal value. And certainly in our country today, there are so many reasons why we need to be coming before our great God on our knees in prayer. So, yes, absolutely, I would agree with you.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and I got to attend a National Day of Prayer event this morning, and so coming off that, and I'm like, oh, wow, I get to interview Sam. And Sam, you have quite a background with a political career. Maybe you could share with our listeners, before we get into the American Pastors Network, how God kind of prepared you for that.
Well, I can briefly. The Lord's kind of put my life together in thirds, a third in private business after I had gone to completed Christian education, and actually spent a couple of years in Christian radio, interestingly enough, and then about 20 years, 18 years actually, in public office in the state of Pennsylvania, where God opened the door for me to serve as a minister of God in government, Romans 13, for 18 years in the General Assembly in Pennsylvania. And during that time, then God opened the door for me to begin to preach. So he actually called me to be a minister of God in the pulpit while I was still there as a minister of God in government. And then when that time was completed, then God put before us the vision of what really we believed, and I believe God would say, to be the greatest need in this country, having been blessed of God, raised up by God as a shining city on a hill, led by the pulpits in those early days, looking at where we are now, saying, how do we get back? How do we get back to God's blessing? And I believe that God's plan is that the pulpits of America must once again preach the whole counsel of God boldly, clearly, applying biblical principles to the issues of lives, issues of the day, so that our people know how to live and think biblically, raise up families that reflect God's plan and impact a culture that is going to hell right now in a way that brings it back to God's plan. And that really, out of that then came the American Pastors Network and all of the things associated with focusing on the pulpit, and then radio and TV programs now trying to proclaim truth into the public square as a person of God should do, and as we're trying to encourage our pulpits across America to do.
Yeah, what a platform God has given you guys with the American Pastors Network and, of course, the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. But you've got a whole lot better idea of what the problem is, you know, based on this Barna study. And maybe you can share with our listeners kind of what pastors are facing that they may not be aware of.
Well, you know, there's a lot of challenges facing the pulpits today. I think we know that that's the case from a number of research. The one you just referred to, the Barna Group research, would indicate that large numbers, about 90% of pastors in the pulpit, actually believe that they have an obligation to lead the way in matters of religious freedom and that kind of thing. But the numbers really drop off when it comes to those who are actually feeling they're actually having an impact and actually persuading people in the pews. And then there's a break in the minds of so many relative to just how far do they go with that. Do they actually name cultural issues? Do they talk about cultural challenges by name and discuss them from the pulpit, or do they stay clear of them? And unfortunately, most are staying clear of them. But ultimately, Robbie, one thing that we do know is that by and large, the pulpits of America have, if you were to put it in a general sense, they're silent. They're far more quiet when it comes to actually taking what God says about life and living and God's plan for society and government and the family and the church, all laid out in Scripture. They're silent on so much of that to the degree that 92% of those in the pews of America, according to George Barna himself research, would say that 92% of those in the pews of America are hungering for their pastors to take biblical word, biblical principles, and actually lay it out for them so that they know how to think biblically about the issues confronting them, their families, and the culture. The sad part about it is only 9% of those in the pulpit will actually do it. Now, that's the conflict that we have. We have a culture in need. We have people who are hungry, people in the pews who are hungry, wanting to know what God says, but we have a precious few who will actually do what the people want, and I think what God commands us to do in regard to discipling our people and warning our sheep about the wolves that are out there running about in the culture. So there's a great need, there's a great hunger, there's a great potential, but we need more to stand up and be more bold. And that's what we're trying to encourage the pulpits to do across America.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking that, you know, God was pretty clear in Revelation that if you were lukewarm here, you're going to get spit out. And so, you know, we need some folks that are on fire, that are hot for the things of God. And in all sorts of different ways, they speak to that. And so he's given you this platform, the radio show, there with the American Pastors Network. Share a little bit about that.
Well, over the last, God has raised us up about 5 years ago, so we're only 5 years old. But during that course of time, God's permitted us to have three radio programs, a minute program called Stand in the Gap Minute, just a one-minute challenge, of the daily program, which is a news analysis program, headline news from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We call that Stand in the Gap Today. And then the best of show, the best of week, weekend program, our program called Stand in the Gap Weekend. Just less than a year ago, then God also began a weekly TV program, which is now national, called Stand in the Gap. And we take their transcending issues, the kinds of things that may not be the headline news, but they're issues that affect us all that don't go away anytime soon. And again, we deal with those from a biblical worldview perspective, touching millions of lives a week, and that is something that is truly of God. But we are convinced that God's Word holds all of the answers for all of the challenges of life, no matter who the person, be the individual or a family or society or our nation, which has so much need right now, or internationally. It makes no difference. God's Word speaks to all of them, Robbie, and when we actually go there for instruction, God says, I'm going to give it to you. And then if we do it, then we have the promise, obey it, then we have the promise that God will bless. And that is something that that God has done in a marvelous way, and we're just trying to the best of our ability to take every opportunity we can and drive that point home that we have needs. Yes, we do. But we have answers, and that's in God's Word. And we say the pulpits must lead the way, but everybody in the pew, even if their pulpits don't lead the way, everybody in the pew has an obligation before God and has an ability to go to God's Word themselves and find the answers for themselves that they can employ and put into effect in their lives and in the lives of their families. We have an answer. God's Word holds it. We just need to do it, seek it, do it, and implement it.
So I'm sure everyone listening can hear the fire that you know, Pastor Sam has. And so I'm curious on how did God light that fire in your life? I mean, I know you were in Congress, and obviously you did some really cool things there in Pennsylvania to help Christian education. But I'm curious about those moments when it was like going from being a representative to being a pastor. How did God get into that?
Boy, I tell you, we could do a long time. I've got to take you back to the point when I was young. I was born into a Christian family. I was saved. The Lord saved me when I was 7 years old. And after that point, my mother, a lot of folks were approaching Mother's Day here this weekend. My mother or coming up here, my mother said this to me. She said, Sam, and my other siblings as well, you will have a hero. Every person has a hero. But don't go to the entertainment world. Don't go to the sports world. You may find somebody there, but go to God's Word, because every person that God chooses to put in the Word of God are there for our instruction. And I did. I took that admonition. And when I was nine years old.
I hate to break in here, but I know that you're going to be excited to hear the second segment of Truth Talk Live and hear how God did take Sam and teach him with those heroes. So when we come back, we're going to hear so much more from the Honorable Sam Rohr and with the American Pastors Network, Pennsylvania Pastors Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Robbie Dillmore filling in for Stu, and what a treat we have today. The Honorable Sam Rohr, who is the president of the American Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. And when we left our hero, he was finding out about heroes and what his mother was teaching him. So take us where we left off there, Sam.
Robbie, I'd be glad to do, because it's quite a story. And I often share it with children, students, when I talk with them, because I say to them, they're in the same kind of a mode. All of us have heroes, all of us, whether we're adults or children. But my mom said, you will have one. Go to the Bible and choose him from there. I did. And I can recall when I was about 9 years old, just a couple of years after I had accepted Christ as my Savior, that the Lord began to draw my heart to two characters in the Scripture, one by name of Joseph and the other the name of Daniel. And both of those stood out to me because they were both young men. Daniel probably about 16 when he was sold by his brethren into Egypt and went away, no family, nobody looking over his shoulder, and yet he stood tall for God, and God ultimately used him for the salvation of Israel in those early days. Well, Daniel was the same way. He was probably about 12 years old. His family had been murdered and taken off into Babylon. And sexually abused as a young man, turned into a eunuch. He was away from family. He was away from everyone and put into a foreign culture. And somehow, amazingly, this young boy stood tall like a man. And God ultimately rose him and raised him to a position, just like Joseph, to vice president of their respective nations. And in the case of Daniel, he also was a preacher. He was a prophet. And I looked at both of those growing up, and I said, if it's possible, and obviously it is, and that's why God put them there, that God raised up these two young men, very young, tough positions. They stood tall. They knew, as young boys, they knew what to think about God, and they had the ability to trust in God. God preserved them, raised them to the top echelons of the political realm in which they were. And as far as we know, those two individuals, God did not record any moral failure with either one of them. And as a young boy, I said, you know what? I can see how God uses those in positions of authority. Righteous, when they're in authority, the people rejoice. And the other is as a preacher. Obviously, as we see what God says, I didn't know as a boy whether God wanted to call me into the political realm or into the pulpit. Ultimately, he didn't call me into either directly, but later in life, then midway through when I was just in my 30s, he called me into public office as a minister of God. Long story, miraculous story. And then he followed up by giving me the opportunity to preach, bringing together those things that God laid in my heart when I was very young. And interestingly, led me both into office and the decision to preach by going to the passage in Ezekiel 22:30, where God says, and I looked for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, and I found none. And I thought, how is it possible God's people, Israel, learned of God, trained of God, given God's commands, got to a point where they turned their back on him, and God couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap. Ultimately, that's referring to Jesus Christ, who could stand in the gap for us as the whole world. But the point being, God was looking for someone who was willing to say, I understand who God is, and I'm willing to sacrifice my life, if need be, for the cause of truth. And because of that is why we now, on our programs are called Stand in the Gap. Stand in the Gap Today, Stand in the Gap Minute. I've used that reference because that's what God used in my life, and I offer that as a challenge for those who are listening today in their homes, moms, dads, children, whoever. God's still looking for people to stand in the gap for truth, but it means we have to know the truth, a personal relationship with the Lord, and then be committed to obeying what God says. When that happens, great things can take place. That's what our people need. That's what our nation needs. That's what God wants.
Fascinatingly, as I was thinking about your two heroes and them standing in the gap, they both ended up in a pit. And so I'm kind of guessing that at some point in your life, you felt like you were in the lion's den, or you felt like your brothers had thrown you in the pit. But I bet God used that as well to help light that fire.
Well, he has, and I think all of us, you yourself, Robbie, and I know people who are listening to your program right now, if they have dedicated their lives to the Lord in the past and they've been faithful in their walk with the Lord, absolutely. There are times when they know the wolves have been sniffing around at their heels, and we know the times when the devil has attacked, and yes, we know when those pits have come, but all of us who have had a walk with the Lord, and I'm speaking for all of those who are listening, we also know that even in those midst of those times, like those three boys, those friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they were in the fire, the Lord was there with them, and it was obvious. And that's what we have to be convinced about, that we will do what God says, stand for truth, and if we throw it in the fire, even then we will do what God says, because we know and believe that he can, if he wants to, take us and deliver us from that flame. If not, so be it. I think that confidence, Robbie, should belong to everybody who has a personal walk with the Lord. And that is what he wants us, I think, to trust in him. And I think all of these experiences, they come to all of us. They sure do. But there's always the other side of the experience, and that should be giving us the kind of confidence and strength to go forward, because that strength is not within ourselves. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit who lives within us to empower us, and he promises to give us that if we trust in him.
Well, speaking of getting thrown into the pit, I imagine that most Christians listening, and I certainly know in my case, it's not infrequent to face what pastors face, that apparently 44% of pastors, according to this Barna Group study, 44% of pastors feel limited to speak about homosexuality and the lay the LGBT movement, essentially. And I know that I get engaged in that often, in that, you know, people come to me wanting to pick a fight. But it also ends up being a place that really can bear great fruit if you can handle that in love. And so I'm interested how you discuss that with pastors on your program.
Well, I generally go by saying this. As a Christian, we should not be afraid to say, I am a Christ follower. And what that means is that I believe that God is. I believe that God created. I believe that there was a fall where sin came into the world. And I believe that because of the love and the justice of God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer for all of mankind. Now, that's the biblical worldview, simply stated. That is what every true believer should know, should be joyful about, and should understand. And that should be the position of hope that is offered to every other person, no matter who they are. So maybe talking to a Muslim, maybe talking to an atheist, maybe talking to an agnostic. It really makes no difference. We know that God made all people to be in need of him. And there is a search for truth that all have. The devil has deceived so many, but it is the truth of God's word, clearly explained, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that opens the eyes, that brings light out of darkness, that does those things. That is what we must have the confidence about, and we can do that in love, because if God so sent his son, who loved the world that he gave himself for all of the world. And on that cross, we just passed Easter, on that cross, Christ could hang there and say, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Should not we think the same thing? The fight ultimately, Barry, is not against us. I mean, we engage those who are opposed to truth, and yes, many of them have faces. They do. But ultimately, this is a spiritual battle. We should remember that it is, and that the spiritual battle is won by spiritual truth empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as we faithfully communicate that love, that truth in love, and set up the standard that God has established for all walks of life, for our family, for father, for mother, for children, for government, what it should look like, what it should do, for the church, what its purpose is, for human sexuality, of how that ought to be, that when we lay out God's model and the blessings that God promises for following his model, it's good news. Now, people can accept it, they can reject it, but I surely have no problem holding it up as the model, because it is just so wonderful when we do what God says for us to do.
And here we are on the National Day of Prayer, as far as you and I right now. I know you may not be listening on the National Day of Prayer, but it was recorded. So, Pastor, would you pray for our listeners and me that we would do those very things you just described?
I would be honored to do so. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come before your presence no matter where we are, and on this case, on this radio program, and thousands of people can be engaged together in prayer before you right now. Lord, we acknowledge our sin as your people, that we have strayed from you as a nation. We have moved far away from where you said a nation must be for you to bless. And we also understand, Lord, that you do say that when your people, led by your people who understand who you are, and humbly seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, Lord, our wicked ways of idolatry, trusting in ourselves, doing those things that put other things before you, when we acknowledge those things, O Lord, you will hear and you will answer. And on this day of prayer, that we're doing this program now, and as we go through this year, Lord, we need your intervention. We need you to heal this land. We need you to heal the divide caused by sin and deception that only can be done through your Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray that those who know you would believe it and live it. And for those who may be listening who don't know that peace of Jesus Christ in their heart, that they would trust you even today, right now, and receive that great gift of eternal life. We would pray that, Lord, and we just ask for all of these things, all who are listening, may we make us all brighter lights and saltier salt in these days of need in this country. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Honorable Sam Rohr, again, the president of the American Pastors Network, the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, their Facebook page. You want to check that out, American Pastors Network, APN, and APN at American Pastors. On Twitter, of course, the Honorable Sam Rohr, or H-O-N period, Sam Rohr, at Sam Rohr on Twitter. So check all those things out. Sam, what a joy it was to have you on today, of all days. It's so much fun.
Robbie, it's a blessing to be with you, and God bless you and all of your listeners and the entire network. God bless you. Tremendous.
Thank you.